Ladies and gentlemen, a familiar name at EAA is Ron Alexander. He has accomplished a lot of things. He is a J3 Cub owner, and he's going to be the host for the J3 Awards coming up next. He owns a J3 Cub, is a Delta with captain with Delta Airlines. He started the EAA Workshop, which is a field base, or out where you live, moving a classroom of how to build a home-built aircraft. He actually initiated that for the EAA. Alexander Aircraft was the name of his company. The DC-3 that he has is here in the Warbird section. They brought it up from the Atlanta area. And if you're in that area, it is a movie star airplane. That is, if you're in the Warbirds area, it's a movie star airplane. And it says, I think it says the initials ALA. It is the initials of a fictitious Hollywood airline. And it's a movie star airplane in the movie that's being shot now called 42, the number 42. And the movie is about Jackie Robinson. So if you get a chance to see that airplane in Theater in the Woods, I'll take this card now. Ray Scholler is here. Ray is the man, the vice president, worked with Paul Poberesny, with his wife Bernice for so many years. His daughter, Judy just got the award, and that's the dad she was talking about. Give him a big round of applause. Have you heard of Camp Scholler? Do you live in Camp Scholler? That's who it's named for. They have been around as long as the Poberesnys, great friends. Ray always had a joke for me when I came to work backstage. So let's continue on. And after these J3 Awards, I want you to stick around for some great live music. We have the Winnebago Land Barbershop Chorus are going to sing live for you right after the J3 Awards. But let's bring out J3 pilot, Captain Ron Alexander.
Thank you very much, Danny. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our celebration of the 75th anniversary of the Piper Aircraft Company and of the J3 Cub. So actually, Danny was just a little bit off on this. We don't have any awards that we're going to give, but we are going to talk about the Cub. We have a real good program for you this evening. And speaking of the J3 Cub, those of you who were on the grounds on Sunday morning, about 6:35 in the morning, you may have witnessed a large group of J3 Cubs who arrived about that time. My understanding is there were 85 J3 Cubs that arrived, and behind them about 20 Super Cubs and other variations of Cubs. So I'd say that's quite a showing. And I also understand that right now there are about 182 J3 Cubs, actual J3 Cubs, out on the flight line. Now, if you have not been here in the vintage area and out on the flight line, I would encourage you to go out there, and what you're going to witness is a literal sea of yellow out there. I think there's every variation of Cub yellow in the world that is out there on the flight line. But I tell you, I just think it's fantastic that we have had such a great turnout of J3 Cubs for this 75th celebration. I think we should give all these Cub pilots and owners a great big round of applause. Okay, as I mentioned, we have a great program tonight. We have with us two experts on Piper aircraft and, in particular, the J3 Cub. The first individual is Roger Pepperell. Several of you probably know Roger. He is an acknowledged expert on the history of Piper aircraft and on the J3 Cub. Roger's originally from London and currently lives on the South Coast in England. Along with Roger is Clyde Smith, Jr. I'm sure a number of you know Clyde. Clyde was born and raised in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania, the home of Piper. His father worked originally for the Piper factory. And Clyde is an expert on all the technical aspects of vintage Piper airplanes, and in particular, J3 Cubs. So if you would, please welcome Roger Pepperell and Clyde Smith, Jr.
Welcome. All right. There we go.
Okay. Well, Roger, you are obviously a noted historian for Piper Aircraft and for the company itself and the J3 Cub. Could you tell me how you really became interested in the Piper Aircraft and in the J3 Cub in particular? Where did you begin?
I have to go back to the UK. After World War II, the country was in a bit of a state, and it didn't like too many imports, so it had an import tax of 28% to encourage the British industry to recover. And we were used to drab aeroplanes like a Tiger Moth and a Percival Prentice, and they that was the common thing that people were flying. That import tax came off at the end of 1958, and America was going through the color revolution then, and so Piper were building brightly colored aeroplanes, as Cessna were as well. These planes then started being imported into Great Britain, and they just happened to be air freighted into Heathrow Airport, and they were trucked up to the local airport at Oxford near where I lived. And so I got to watch them being uncrated and assembled and flown to customers. And that sort of hooked me on Piper aircraft.
I'll bet it did. That's great. That's good. And Clyde, you literally grew up with Piper. You were born in Lock Haven. Your father worked for Piper Aircraft. And you started out that way. So I'm sure your interest began when you were real young.
Yeah, that's right, Ron. I was, my dad started at Piper in 1941, actually, March of 41. I was born in March of 1947. My dad moved to Lock Haven. He had a private pilot's license when he was hired by Piper, which put him in a very prime position for becoming a test pilot. And he was, his military duty was, he was the commander of the Civil Air Patrol base in Lock Haven, and got his instructor's rating and actually checked out quite a few of the WASP ladies that came in to ferry military airplanes. And he was in his test pilot position up through the 1950s, through the Comanche and Apache years, up until actually 1960. Became a design engineer, retired in 1975. So I kind of grew up.
Yeah.
Spent many evenings finishing my homework with him when he went back to the office to finish daily duties. So, yeah, very familiar.
I suppose you rode with him a number of times in different aircraft. And
we did. My father was from northeastern Pennsylvania, and we'd take maybe a weekend a month and fly up to northeastern Pennsylvania to visit my grandparents, and they'd fly up in a tri-pacer or something like that. And he was my flight instructor. Began the flight instruction in 1968. So, yeah, very. My mother liked to fly. She still flew with him before I was born, and it was flying family actually.
Still remember your first J3 Cub flight?
You know, I don't remember my first airplane ride. I understand it was in a tri-pacer, and I'm trying to think when I couldn't actually answer it right now without deep thought.
Yeah.
But I rode. When I was in the high school band, summer band, I would walk down to the Piper factory when band was over at lunchtime and ride home with my dad for lunch. Sometimes I'd get there early, and if one of his, that's when he was manager of engineering flight test, maybe one of his test pilots was going to do some flight test work that didn't require a parachute or dangerous. Just to fill time, I take a little short ride with one of his test pilots. So yeah, no problem with riding. Really, really enjoy it.
That's great. That's great. And Roger, I know that you have a book that you have written on the history of Piper Aircraft, which we'll get into a little bit later on in the program. But you also have a slide presentation for us, I believe, on the Piper Aircraft Company and the J3 Cub in particular. Do you share that with us, please?
Yep, certainly can. So I guess we all know that 2012 is a key date, 75 years since the Piper Aircraft Company was formed. That was formed on the 1st of November 1937, so it's 75 years old later this year. And The J3 Cub was had its approved type certificate on the 30th of October 1937. So that's also 75 years old this year. So that's what we're all excited about. Next. So I guess that we'll start with Mr. Piper. He had a dream that everybody would be able to afford to buy an aeroplane so they could fly, and that that every town in the USA would have an airport. So that was his dream that he wanted to have. Next. I guess that we all know that Piper's an iconic name. Everybody knows Piper. And also that everybody that looks up in the sky and sees an aeroplane, they normally say it's a Piper Cub, even if it's a Cessna. So that's a cool as well. So next. So I thought I'd start with the beginnings. It started in 1925 in Rochester, New York, as the North Star Aerial Service. It was started by a couple of brothers called Gordon and C.G. Taylor, and their father, Arthur. And they played with a Curtis Jenny to start with. Next. They then decided that the premises weren't big enough. They looked at what was called the A2 Chummy. Then they wanted to put that in production, so they moved to Bradford, Pennsylvania. They moved there in November 1928. The Bradford Council, Town Council, said that we'd love you to come to Bradford, so they provided $50,000 to persuade them to come to Bradford. Amongst the people at Bradford was a certain Mr. Piper. He was in the oil business, the Dulles recovery business, he invested into the Taylor Brothers Aircraft Company, as it was called, and so therefore he became very interested in the Taylor Company. Next. So there's Mr. Piper, and he invested about $400 into the company, and therefore he went down to the factory to see what his investment was doing. Next. And there's the typical Chummy, side by side. They made six in total. They were the A2 Chummy, the B2 Chummy, and the C2 Chummy. And you'll notice that the letters go up from A, and the 2 stands for two place. Next. Mr. Taylor, he was the chief engineer, and I guess Mr. Piper was the businessman. The Chummy did not sell too well, so they and in, of course, 1930, after the stock market crash in 29, things were not too good. The company went bust. Mr. Piper bought the company, and he gave C.G. Taylor the title of chief engineer and 50% of the shares, and kept 50% for him. So they owned the company 50-50. They then said, we need to have a lighter aeroplane. So they came up with the D1 glider. I might have a picture of that next. No, I don't. That didn't go too well. Kept everybody busy at the factory. So they came up with the next plane, the E2 Cub. They finished the Cub, but they didn't find an engine. So the little known company at Pottstown, Pennsylvania, said that we've got a 20 horsepower engine, the Brownback Kitten, we'd like to try it in your plane. So Mr. Kirkendall came along and fitted the engine on the 12th of September. It tried to get airborne and didn't quite make it. So he was thanked very much for coming and sent on his way. So what engine could we come up with? So they found a French engine, the Samson engine. It's a radial engine. And they fitted that to the Cub, and they first flew on the 23rd of September. But the interesting thing is that the engine that didn't make it, the Brownback Kitten, endangered the name Piper Cub. The Cub. And I guess that we're still not clear on who came up with the idea, but one of the favorite stories is that a guy called Hendrell, who was the accountant at Taylor Aircraft, was the guy that came up with that. But also, it has been rumored that Ted Weld, the sales manager, also came up with it. But as they both are long gone, we'll probably never know who actually came up with the name Cub.